Welcome to Look Behind the Look, the celebrated podcast that explores your favorite looks in film, television, and fashion history. Through conversations with the fashion world's elite and award-winning hair, makeup, and costume designers on sets around the world, you will see and hear exciting tales from behind the scenes, career origin stories, and tons of advice and tips. I'm your host, Tiffany Bartok. Hey everybody, welcome to Look Behind the Look. Today I am speaking with Camille Friend, perhaps the most amazing name in the industry. Camille's a legendary hair department head and hairstylist. She has department headed many of the Marvel films, and most recently Wakanda Forever, which, as you know, she has been Oscar nominated for her work. And we had a great conversation around award season and the ups and downs of it all, and so I'm really excited to share with you what she has to say and how she handles things like disappointment and success in that area. And of course, we talk about her spectacular work with the water on this film. So just everything. So please check out more of her links at the bottom, including Hair Scholars. She is a leader and an educator. And of course, head to her Instagram page for much more behind the scenes and how she creates the magic that she creates on set. Enjoy.
No woman, no cry. No woman, no cry. Little darling, don't shed no tear. No woman, no cry. Good friends we have, and good friends we've lost. Along the way, in this great future, you can't forget your past. So dry your teeth, I say.
We are talking to Camille Friend, who is the legend and the department head for both of the Wakanda and Black Panther movie, for both of the films. And so we have a lot to talk about. Your career is gigantic, and I'm so thrilled that you took some time to talk to me about all of this. And right now, we just started right away talking about, because you're busy today, let me tell you. And we were just talking about, you know, award season, and I talk about it with a lot of my guests about how do you wrangle that mentally, you know, when it's all you do, you're setting yourself up for so much pressure. So how has this award season been different for you, Camille?
I took the pressure off.
How?
Okay. I don't have to look perfect. I don't have to say everything perfect. Mm. I just decided I was going to enjoy the experience. Yes. I'm going to walk in the room. I'm going to see who my energy gravitates to.
Oh.
I'm going to just be happy in the moment, no matter what happens, you know, like, for instance, today we didn't make the BAFTA. Like we got on the long list, but we didn't make it to the nomination today, but I woke up happy. Today is my best friend's birthday. Today is my best cousin, who's actually here in town with me, her birthday. Today is my heavenly father, my dad. It's his birthday. You know what? My life is great. Mm. So if I just took myself out of like that fear and anticipation and all of the other things and be in the moment, in the joy of the moment, I'm having a great time.
That's amazing. That's amazing. It takes a long time to get to that, probably.
Oh no, this is, I would say this is probably like the third or fourth campaign, but this one, I just really learned how to let go a little bit more and just enjoy, really, just really enjoy it.
When do you know your work is going to go into the campaign category?
You know what? It really, like, once we get to, let me see, I think probably like September, you start, like, you know, usually what happens is Marvel, they contact you and they're like, okay, we're going to do this. This is what it's going to be. This is how we're going to promote it. And they just start telling you everything that's going to start happening. Marvel and Disney, they're great at doing that part of
right,
it.
So, right.
You know, so they just start, and then you have to start thinking about it. And I'm going to say this. I always say this to artists. When you start a project, I hear guys, you know, the second day of the trailer, we're going to get nominated for this.
Time out.
No, time out. Guess what? Let's see you put on that wig for 120 days and make it look good. Let's see you do that makeup for 120 days and let it look good. Focus on the work. I don't focus on like the awards. That's way down the road. Do the work that's sitting in that chair every day, through the humidity, through the rain, through the mud, through all the things that happen, through the cold. Do that look and make it look good for 120 days and then talk to me.
I love that. I love that. And it's 100% true.
Yeah. Focus on the work. Like the accolades come later and they will come, but focus on the work is what gets you accolades.
Yes.
You first do the work.
And that's not the only accolade, you know,
yes.
I mean, you are a force. And can we talk about Wakanda? Because, you know, you're still on the shortlist for the Oscars, of course. And like everybody talks about your work and Ruth Carter's work in this film, and the aesthetic is incredible. That's undeniable. And how did you guys discuss even, I know you've been talking about this like crazy, but I want to know.
Of course, it's good.
I want to know how you came to the second film and what that first conversation was like, being that it was such an emotional revisiting.
I'll tell you, I'm going to make a long story short. So we were supposed to start the movie a long time ago.
Okay.
And then Chadwick passed.
Okay.
So that changed the dynamic of the movie. And I say one thing about this movie is, and you understand this, this movie could have been over. There could have been no more Black Panther. There couldn't have been a two. There couldn't be anything else, because when a franchise loses their star, a major star for a major, a lot of times it's just over.
Yeah.
So it was really, I think it was really smart. It was really risky of Marvel to say, okay, we're going to move forward. It's like, how are we going to move forward? Because we're all very destroyed. We lost our king. So, and that's how I came into it. I came into it, you know, very like, how are we going to do this? What is it going to look like? Like all of those things. And then after reading the script and really sitting and talking with Ryan Coogler, who's our director, Ryan really comforted me, because I was really sad. So he really comforted me in that sort of thing. And I'll tell you on a personal note, also during the time when Chadwick, right when he was passing, we found out that my own brother had colon cancer.
Oh no.
So it was something. No. So it was a lot of things that was going into like me processing all of it. So getting back to, once I spoke with Ryan and he really comforted me and I read the script, I really realized what we were doing. We were doing something not only for ourselves, but we're doing something for the fans. And it was beautiful how in the script, how they introduced a lot of new characters, but then we were giving honor to Chadwick Boseman, and we're giving honor to his character of T'Challa and who he was. So once that was established for me, I was a lot better. I was good to go.
Wow. And you probably felt permission from him as well when you were talking.
I'll tell you something people don't know. Right before we filmed, Brian had all us department heads, especially most of us are the same people who did the first one. So that's a testament to what the movie is. So most of us came back. So there was not really that many new faces in that space of the department heads. Ryan took us all to where Chadwick is, where he's buried. So we actually got to go, and we spent several hours like with him, with his family, and we got to pray, we got to meditate, we got to talk. We just all like sat there, and we had drummers come. We had his best Brett's friend, whose name is Jabari, come, and he drummed. So it was very much a whole spiritual like awakening. And we actually felt a lot of closure that day, and it just felt like permission to go on.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know about that. That is such a blessing. Wow.
It was really a blessing that even Ryan had the foresight to know that we needed that, and that it was something that needed to be honored.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Oh, I love this. Now, so the cast, everyone is grieving. The characters are, of course, grieving. And so the hair reflected the grief. And I would love to hear the specifics of that and how you approached it.
So the backstory, how it all started, and this is also through Ryan Coogler in our discussions. So in West African tradition, people in mourning, they would like shave their heads. just like, you know, someone who is Jewish, you would sit Shiva. It's, you know, it's just tradition. So that's something that would happen. So how would this look if Ramonda and Shuri, if they would have shaved their heads in mourning of T'Challa's death? How would it have looked afterwards? So we were dealing with the aftermath. Oh, so you still want to keep some of the same threads that you mm-hmm. had in the first one. You know, we want to definitely connect it for the viewers and for all of us. So, you know, how would that look? So starting with Ramonda, of course, we saw the first opening shot she had, and that is her, people keep asking me, is that the original wig? That is the original OG lock wig. That's the same one, you know, and it was like, you know, when it was, at first it was missing for a minute, then we found it, and I was like, okay. And you know, and it's funny because, you know, Angela was like, hello my friend, you know, the wig. I was like, yes. So, you know, seeing her from that, and then also Shuri seeing her back in the braids, we didn't braid her hair again like we did in the first one. It's actually a custom wig that was done, and then we braided it so we would have those seamless looks for the flashback. And then after that flashback, you again, it's a year after T'Challa had died, and you're seeing them in that, still in that grieving space, but that's why you see their hair shorter. So you see Angela with like a shorter little fro, mm-hmm. and we want to keep it still in all the light colors because, you know, Angela's like, give me platinum. So that's what we call it. So I say, like, give her her platinum hair. So I give Angie her platinum hair, and then figuring out like what, you know, what Shuri was going to look like, because, you know, from the first one, she was the younger sister. She had the great jokes. She had the great fashion, but, you know, she's this super, super intelligent mind. But this one, she's a totally different person. She's a young woman who is evolving as not only as a sister and somebody who's evolving to also help her mother run a whole country. So that's something that she had to step into more of a situation. You're seeing this young woman evolve in front of your eyes. So keeping her in that same sense of keeping her with her like short natural hair, but then like we kept some of the same things. We kept the sides short, but like evolving her into something that is more of a mature look. And then even something that's more current.
Wonderful. Oh my gosh, this is great. And can you tell me a little bit about your wig maker and how you worked together? I have his name right here written down. Can you remind me?
my wig maker, her name is Natasha. It's her. No, it's all right. And it's Ladek. It's Ladek. And I'm going to say this. And people, you're only as good as your wig maker.
Okay.
Period. The wig makes a big difference.
And you had 300?
We had about 300 wigs. So Natasha is responsible. Like she does all, like I call them the hero wigs that we do for all our key people. She does all those wigs. And, you know, she is a friend. She is, I call her a co-conspirator in what I do. And it's something as like, again, you're only as good as your wig maker. It's because it is all about how the knots are going to be put in, the colors that we're going to blend, like, you know, what kind of hair texture we're going to use, all of those things, and a beautiful hairline, like all of those things add up to a beautiful wig. And so she is something who I've been co-collaborating with for now over 10 years.
Wow.
And, you know, we just work together, like, and she knows, like, I go in and I'm going to color my own wigs. Like I'm going to go in, I can go into her studio, I can paint, I can color, I can test. So all of those things are happening as we go along.
Oh, that's fantastic. You got to have somebody you can depend on, especially when you're going to have a flood in your movie and you got to be underwater. So let's talk about that, because I was looking again on your Instagram, which is thank you for all that content, because you, I know you are an educator and you definitely extend your knowledge to the next generation, and everybody's like, how do I work with you? And so I saw all the questions down below. So let's tell them all how you did this.
So I'm going to say this. I've done water movies where, like, you know, we put a little water, you know, little spray, little water here, little water there. This was like a real water movie. So it's something that, like, I know about water, but I have a whole new respect to the nature and mother nature and water. And like, because it's moving, it's breathing, it's alive. And so you have to you have to respect it. Like, for instance, I remember I had gotten in the pool and I had just went underwater and I just got really quiet. And like, what do you hear? What does the water say to you? So like, and I was thinking about all the actors that are going to be in the tanks. Like, what does it feel like? What is it going to, like, what does that feel like? And it's almost like water is so gentle in a way. It like kind of rocks you. And that's how you get that feeling. So approaching it in respecting the water and, you know, really thinking about, okay, how are we going to do this? How are we going to make it happen? So after doing a lot of tests, so Nate Moore, our executive producer, he came to me and he's like, so Camille, how's the hair going to stand up and look good underwater? And Nate's very like straight.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we're going to figure it out with this face. We're going to figure it out. So like, we had to figure it out because this is the other secret. Like we couldn't put people in the tank with hairsprays, gels, mousses, nothing. Cause when they get in the water and they have product in the hair, it just makes a big cloud in the water. And you're like,
right,
oh, that's not good
for the camera. You know,
so it's not good for camera. It's not good for visual effects. It's right. not good for anything. So how do we make all this hair look good in that way? So when a friend of mine, his name is Jake Gerber. He also does Sam Jackson with me. He's a makeup artist. And I remember him telling me something years ago about how you can make things stay if you mix spirit gum and you mix alcohol. And I was like, we're going to try that. So it was one of those things. We literally tried it. We really thin the glue out to a very thin consistency, put it in bottles and started spraying it on the hair. We did a test and I was like, okay, let's see if it turns white. Okay, the first one was a little white. Let's thin it out a little bit more. Okay, this is looking good. Let's do a test. Let's get it underwater. And I went over to the tank, dip, dip, dip. Let's see, hold it down there for like a while.
Oh my
and then
God.
When it comes up, what does it look like? The hair is still standing. So that was one of our solutions to, like, we could spray all the hair pieces and all the wigs and we could make them actually stay, the hair to stay up.
And did it ruin it? Was that then designated to be the water hair?
Well, it was, we kept every, both okay. all as the water hair, but you can literally like, there's like, you can take again and almost like reverse it. You can take a lot of shampoo and actually alcohol. And we put it actually in like tint bottles, shake up the two and you can just kind of like, you can work it and suds it out, but just, it takes some work, but you can definitely do that.
So yeah. You were product development here. I mean, I know you developed a line for this film. Yeah. Am I correct in saying that?
No, I didn't develop any line for this, but okay. It's just something. I mean, it's just something like literally, I mean, cast. Yeah, with the glue hairspray,
yeah.
But you know, I like to play with products. I like looking at products and breaking them down and like seeing like, what is the other possibility of what it could do? Cause you just never know.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's how we came to that with, you know, keeping that hair up in the water.
Amazing. And lastly, I just wanted to talk to you about Lupita's transformation and her hair being different and how beautiful. I mean, these looks are stunning. Oh, I mean, just it breathtaking. Amazing. So how did you come up with those?
Well, you know, a lot of people have been like, well, why Lupita didn't shave her head? I says, if you remember though, Lupita wasn't in Wakanda. She had left Wakanda after T'Challa's death. So she was in a different space and then in a different place. So definitely she's in Haiti and she's having her own experience. So we wanted to go the opposite with her because she already had, you know, the short hair and I call it the Nakia red. And I was like, okay, so how do we allow her to evolve who she is, you know, because she's not a warrior anymore. She's not fighting. She's in a school and she's teaching. How do we evolve her? So we let her hair grow out. So we gave her the beautiful locks and ombre them in the key of red, as I call it. And it was something that it really came together pretty organically.
Oh, wow.
And you know, Lupita's been a good client to me. So, you know, it's just something that just happened. And once we got them in, Ryan is a lover of locks. His mother has beautiful long locks. So he was like, we have to have locks in this movie. I said, don't worry, I got you covered. Got it.
So, yeah, the best, most beautiful locks you could possibly have. Beautiful.
Yeah.
And managing your team, I mean, you have so much experience, but do you have any advice for people who, I mean, you're a boss, you're an educator, you're a very strong person. Do you have any advice for people how you wrangle this enormous group of artists as a team?
a couple things. I always say this. Like wrangling hair and makeup people is like wrangling cats.
I'm telling you. Yes.
It's difficult. But then this is what I always say. I always try to hire the right people. Mm-hmm. Like hire people.
Great advice.
Who can execute the looks, who are team players, and who can also, like, I always feel this is how I like to run it. We're all there to learn. Like mm-hmm. this, like the trailer is a free place to learn, to educate, to share, to create. We all do it together. I don't do it alone. Mm-hmm. So if somebody doesn't know how to do something, it's not our job to punish them or shame them. Our job is to show them how to do it.
That's great.
I don't like shame. Mm-hmm. I don't like blame. I don't like any of those things, mm-hmm. but allowing people to have the space to, if you say to me, I don't know how to do this, I'm fine with that. I'm not
just
fine.
Just let you know.
Let us know. But if you don't know how to do something, that's okay. But yes. don't do something if you don't know how to do it. And the end result is tragedy. Like, so just let us know that you don't know how to do it, because I'm always willing, or somebody who I work with, the girls who I work with, they're always willing to teach, because they know that's how I roll, and that's how I do it. So it's always a situation of it's an open forum. Mm-hmm. We're always learning and teaching each other different things. And, you know, and I think it can be challenging because people have all different personalities. But I think the main thing is allowing people to be themselves. Mm-hmm. And when people show you who they are the first time, believe it.
Yes, that is one that you kind of forget sometimes.
And, you know, and when I have, and there is difficult moments with people, and I call it, you know, the girls always laughed at, like, oh, that somebody's going to the Camille walk and talk, because I'm going to step you away from the trailer, or I'm going to go to background and I'm going to talk to you. And what I'm not going to talk to you in front of everybody, but mm-hmm. I'm going to walk and I'm going to talk to you. It's not an argument. I'm just going to ask you, how did this happen? I'd like to know your side of it.
Oh my God. But, I can feel it. I can feel it.
But yes. it's like, we can talk about it and we can discuss it.
That's a good
approach. But I always tell people this, no matter what, we're in a creative atmosphere, mm-hmm. but this isn't a professional environment. Mm-hmm. You are paid to come here and get along with everyone, because that's your job.
Yes.
So if you're not getting along with everybody, you're not doing your job. So how are we going to change the situation, alter the situation, or what do you need to alter in yourself in order to be a part of our situation? And if you feel like you can't do that, well, maybe this is not the place for you.
Right. Yes. That's really good. That's empowering also, because it's their decision to, you know, figure it out.
I'm not there to beat up people and do all that, but some people don't know how to play well in the sandbox. And one thing my ex-husband used to always say, he used to always tell me, he said, if you want to be the department head, it's not the popular position.
Right. And people don't know that.
People don't know that. They think it's the popular position. No, it isn't. People are not going to like you, because you have to make tough decisions mm-hmm. that are for the overall good of the masses mm-hmm. versus maybe the good of the one. And mm-hmm. even sometimes I have to make decisions that are not good for me, but mm-hmm. I have to do that because it's for the greater good, and be able to, you know, define those lines. It's very, very important. And sometimes you just have to do what you have to do, and people don't understand, but you just have to keep your vision singular sometime mm-hmm. and do what you need to do.
Oh, Camille, that's amazing advice. I hope everybody heard that and wrote it down. And I feel so lucky to be talking to you today, and I can't wait to share our conversation, and good luck to you with everything that's coming up.
Thank you so much. No, it's so exciting. And I'm just happy. And I love podcasts, because you just get to really tell people, like, the true process and truly what it is. And you know, and I know, like, people tell me that podcast really helped me. So that means a lot to me when people can say that.
Yes. Good. Good. I'm glad. It definitely reaches the right ears.
Yes. Very good.
Look Behind the Look is a Vinyl Foot production, written by me, your host, Tiffany Bartok, produced by Jace Bartok, edited by Evan Rivard. If you're interested in learning more, find our video version on the YouTube channel, Look Behind the Look Podcast. There you can see rare photos and clips from our guests. And please follow us on Twitter at Look Behind Pod and Instagram at Look Behind the Look. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe. And tell your friends and spread the word. You can subscribe to us on iTunes or any podcatcher of your choice. Thanks for listening to Look Behind the Look.